Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. There is fresh snow on the ground from Washington, D.C. into New England. Cold air is moving into central Florida this weekend, and Oregon's Governor Tina Kotek expands a state of emergency declaration due to the severe ice storm that's linked to widespread deaths and damage. KXL's Annette Newell is in Portland.
Kotek had already declared a state of emergency for Lane County, but as freezing rain poured on Oregon, she decided to widen it statewide in the hopes of getting resources from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Deaths linked to the storm include six due to suspected hypothermia and others from fires and falling trees. Thousands have gone without power and heat. Oregon State Legislator Dacia Graber has hearings about the response to this ice storm.
I will ask folks to come in and talk about what went well, what didn't go well.
Annette Newell for CBS News, Portland, Oregon.
Multiple reports indicate a grand jury has been convened in Uvalde County, Texas, to review evidence in the 2022 mass shooting at Robb Elementary School. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The move comes one day after a Justice Department report cited law enforcement's cascade of failures to properly respond to the 2022 Uvalde Elementary School shooting. The grand jury is expected to consider much of the same evidence as the Department of Justice.
A grand jury indicted, that is, actor Alec Baldwin in connection with a fatal movie set shooting in 2021. CBS's Cooper Lawrence has more.
Actor Alec Baldwin has been charged with involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. The shooting happened in October of 2021 on the set of the film Rust. Baldwin claimed he never pulled the trigger, but an independent forensic expert found he must have, since the gun needed 2 pounds of pressure to fire. Baldwin's lawyers say they're looking forward to their day in court. If he's found guilty, Baldwin could face up to 18 months in prison. Cooper Lawrence, CBS News.
President Biden insists the U.S. will continue air attacks against Houthi rebel rocket and drone launching sites in Yemen, even as the group backed by Iran vows to continue trying to disrupt shipping in the Red Sea in support of Hamas. CBS's Charlie Daggett went aboard a ship that's deployed to the region to help carry out the attacks.
We fleeted the USS Arleigh Burke destroyer from the USS Bataan. Both warships are part of a combined 4,000-strong force of U.S. Marines and sailors across the deployment here. Commander Ty Brown showed us the vast array of weapons packed onto destroyers like this, from torpedoes to harpoon missiles, capable of hitting ships even stocked with Tomahawk cruise missiles.
Alphabet Inc.'s Waymo says it has applied to the California Public Utilities Commission to extend its driverless deployment services to include L.A. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers want to ban abortion in Wisconsin after 14 weeks. Right now, it's 20 weeks. There are exceptions. The bill has a public hearing Monday, the same day Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin to promote reproductive rights. The measure needs to be signed by the governor and approved by voters statewide, but Evers is likely to veto the bill. The state health department is recommending that all young children be tested for lead in their blood. Previously, only children deemed at risk were recommended to be tested, like those living in homes built before 1978. They say that children as young as 1 or 2 years old should be tested, and as old as 5 if they haven't yet been tested. Exposure to lead can lead to slowed growth and development. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks in the Motor City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing by 40 points to Cleveland, the Bucks head to Detroit to take on the last place Pistons. At 28-13, Milwaukee remains 4 games behind the Celtics for first place in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons have only 4 wins. They're 4-37. Their historic 28-game losing streak ended at the end of December. NFL, Packers and 49ers, Saturday night in the playoffs. How much can momentum help the Packers this weekend? Jordan Love.
It's huge. You know, I think coming to the postseason,
that's been huge for us. Kind of got rolling with those three wins back-to-back-to-back. So, you know, it's huge for us right now, just having that momentum.
49ers veteran Fred Warner on how Jordan Love compares to Aaron Rodgers.
I'll just speak to Jordan Love, and the way that he's playing right now is really great. The things that you see showing up, obviously learned under Aaron, some of the mannerisms and the way that he's operating. He's making the throws, making smart decisions, which is what you want.
That's 49ers linebacker Fred Warner with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low near 8 below. Sunshine for tomorrow, high near 10 above. Warmer and breezy Sunday with sun, high upper teens. An even warmer Monday, mostly cloudy, around 30 to the low 30s. Right now it's 1.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Biggest story right now is that Joe Biden, as we came on the air, signed the extension of the continuing resolution to fund the government to the first week in March. This is the third time, the third stop, last minute flurry. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. The Senate previously, a day or so ago, passed it 77 to 18. There were four Republican senators didn't vote on it. One, Grassley, is out sick. But all of the Democrats voted for it. And the remaining votes, the 70, get it to 77, 26 more votes. That was done by Republicans, but 18 Republicans voted against it. They voted not to pay our military. Tommy Tuberville, all of them, 18, voted not to pay our military, went to the House. Interesting thing that happened in the House is 314 to 108. Virtually every Democrat voted for it, but the Republicans were split 107-106. So barely... Mike Johnson barely survived the Hastert rule, which is a self-imposed rule in their caucus that says that half or more of the House caucus have to approve something or it doesn't go to the floor. Here, 107 approved it. 106 did not. 106 voted not to pay our troops. I think that every congressman, Republican in our state, voted against it, not to pay our troops. This isn't the end of it. This extends, all it extends is the January 19 date to March 1, and the February 2nd date to March 8. And that means on March 1 now, there'll be four bills that will lapse. This continuing resolution will lapse as to them and four of the agencies. And on March 8, the other eight, there are 12 bills that are needed to fully fund the government. The money now is assured. But how it's divvied up and so forth is still going to be fought about. And Johnson's setting votes on that beginning of next week. And there'll be more skullduggery and chicanery and lying and all that from the Republican Party. Now, Biden signed it. Consider a couple of things here. This is the third one. Every time this happens, confidence in our government, confidence by the investment community in our government goes down. Now, does that mean they're not going to buy our treasury bonds? No, it doesn't mean that. Our treasury bonds are the safest bonds in the world. In the world, even Germany, which had very, very safe bonds at one point, had negative interest rates. And those negative interest rates meant you bought a German bond for, say, $100, and all it said they would do is repay you $99. Those you lost money, but at least you trusted the German government not to steal it, squander it, that it'd be there. The United States treasuries were considered even safer than Germany's. We always paid somewhere, sometimes we paid 0.5%, 1%, 1.5%, 2%. When you're trying to fund trillions of dollars in bonds, that makes a lot of difference. That's many billions of dollars in interest. What the Republicans have done by taking us to the brink, and I'm not kidding about brink. You know when the brink was? At 11:59 tonight. Tonight. 11:59 tonight. 12 hours, less than 12 hours beforehand, it was finally gotten to Joe Biden to sign it. They keep doing this. And what that says is a lot of investors, and when I talk about investors, I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about institutional investors, other countries. Well, if we're going to put our money in U.S. Treasury bonds, we know that the United States has the mercantile power, the economic power, the manufacturing power. We know it has that, but they hate each other. That's how we're seen. The government hates each other, and so what they end up doing is they deliberately give self-inflicted wounds. So instead, we're not going to buy those bonds for 1% or 2% anymore. We want 4 or 5%. Well, he starts paying 4 or 5% on trillions of dollars of debt. That adds billions with a B, billions of dollars, billions in interest that was unnecessary, absolutely unnecessary, did not have to be paid, should not have even been demanded. Should absolutely not have been demanded. And you know, people sometimes, and I can't resist an historical note, you know that. It's a hallmark of this show. People think that somehow this is maybe the first time in history that we've had this bad a House of Representatives and that they won't vote on a budget. It costs the government money. Go back to 1879, Rutherford Hayes, he was the president. He was a colonel at Antietam, one of the bloodiest battles in the Civil War on our side. Rutherford Hayes commanded troops. And I've said this before, but I love this fact. One of the sergeants under his command, Sergeant William McKinley, who also went on to be president of the United States. McKinley was assassinated. But Rutherford Hayes in 1879, they said, well, the Democratic Party had been taken over by former Confederates. Remember, back then, the Confederates were in the Democratic Party. The abolitionists were in the Republican Party. And they had a slight majority in 1879. And they insisted on putting budgets, just like Johnson and the rest of them try now, it's full of poison pills. In those days, the poison pills were get all troops out of the South, whatever remain, and give up on letting blacks vote despite the 14th Amendment. And to his credit, Rutherford Hayes, a hero of Antietam, abolitionist, vetoed them five times. Five times he vetoed them. The press finally got behind Rutherford Hayes and the Republicans, the abolitionists, the good guys back then. Because he said, if I do this, it would allow a bare majority in the House to dictate terms to the Senate and the president, destroying the balance of power in the government. He said that the Confederate goals were radical, dangerous, and unconstitutional. And remember something else, that earlier in that decade, one of the Confederate leaders said, "We were crazy." He said, "In those days, you know, we were foolish to take up arms against the Union. All we had to do is stay in the Senate and the House. We could have done what we wanted from inside." And that's what they tried. It's much more dangerous than what's going on now, believe it or not. Rutherford Hayes was succeeded by Garfield. Garfield, magnificent. And he stood up as well. And he stood up. He was another Northerner, abolitionist. And so what's going on right now is not unusual in American history. But it hasn't been done to this degree in a long time. Certainly not since the Second World War. In other words, you do not have any Democratic administration. You have no Democratic Congress. And remember, the last time until the 90s that the Republicans controlled Congress was the 50s. So for all that time period, and even now when Pelosi was the speaker for a while, nobody in the Democratic Party, nobody, did a poison pill budget. And by poison pill, in this case, it would be issues I agreed with, but in other words, it would bust the budget. Nobody in the Democratic Party said, "We must have Medicaid for all or we'll shut down the government. We must have voting rights and no gerrymander or we'll shut down the government. We must restore the Voting Rights Act itself or shut down the government." Nobody said that. Everybody negotiated and gave people a little bit of what they wanted, and we had budgets. This crowd right now, and let me tell you something, we're going to talk about this a little more in this upcoming segment. When McCarthy and Biden reached their deal last fall, which is what this continuing resolution basically continues till March, Biden made tremendous concessions. He kept spending flat. Spending flat, didn't even account for inflation. McCarthy wanted cuts. Biden said no, kept it flat. This time around in the negotiations, it was renegotiated by Michael Johnson. He also kept it flat, but he extorted from Schumer and inferentially Biden a reduction of $10 billion in the additional funding for the IRS. $10 billion. That is not a savings. When you put money into the IRS, and it was being put into forensic accountants and lawyers and staff to get tax cheats who are Republicans and Republican donors to pay their taxes, it yields a multiple of revenue. So $10 billion would yield $30 or $40 billion to the government, to taxes, reducing the deficit. By reducing it by $10 billion, reducing the IRS by $10 billion, remember, George W. Bush, 18 years ago, cut it drastically further and set up a decade of tax fraud. All that Mike Johnson did by negotiating this is to increase the deficit. All that the Republicans are doing by playing this jujitsu right to the end, till 11:59 practically on the day of, all they are doing is driving up interest rates and increasing the deficit. When we come back, you will not believe what Trump is doing and saying about the Republicans in the Senate and what he is forcing Johnson and the Republicans in the House to do. Coming back.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna...
This is 93.5 The Tap.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Just consider what Donald Trump has forced the Congress to do, and he's not even in the government anymore, forced the Congress to do because they're afraid of A, primaries, and B, death threats against their wives and kids. Here's what he's forced them to do. First of all, he was one of the ones that forced the Senate not to promote generals and admirals. He had Tuberville, who's a self-proclaimed white supremacist, gladly going along with it. But he had the rest of the senators scared, and they wouldn't bust the filibuster. They wouldn't give 9 votes to Chuck Schumer. Secondly, he's not only the guy that appointed 3 of the tarantulas on the Supreme Court, but he has pressed state legislatures, including Idaho and Texas, not to blink on abortion. So giving an example, in Idaho and Texas, there's not a right to abortion, even to save the life of the mother. And in Texas, there was a case where a woman's health was so badly threatened and her life that her doctor certified that her life and health were in danger, and the Texas Supreme Court said it was insufficient. So she went elsewhere. He is doing everything he can to force the government to shut down. And that's why we were on the brink today by 11:59 p.m. And that includes not paying our troops. Now, in the Ukraine aid package, the border package, the Israel package, that's separate from this particular funding. And he has put his foot down. He has ordered them all that unless there's a perfect border solution, which is basically close the border, don't take it, and no aid to Ukraine. And he will attack, personally attack anybody who votes for it. Now, he's weakened us against Russia, China, Iran with all this, but here's what he has actually said. I'll give you an example. He attacked Mitch McConnell. He attacked the moderates in the Senate on the border package in Ukraine aid. He said they had better not vote for anything that is not perfect. Now, here's the response from John Thune, South Dakota, the number 2 guy, the caucus whip, the Senate whip on the Republican side. So Thune actually showed a little spine. He said, quote, what he's saying is not helpful. There are a number of pieces in that immigration bill that are good conservative border policies that we've been trying to get done for years, end quote. That's John Thune. Now here's the deal. Biden conceded quite a bit. He conceded quite a bit when it came to the border compromise to get the Ukraine and the Israel aid. Everybody in the Republican Party in the Senate has said, look, when I say everybody, obviously not people like Hawley and Cotton and Cruz and this ilk, but the mainstream Republicans said, look, we're never going to get this again. Because of Ukraine aid, we're getting it. So let's pass this thing. Mike Johnson feels the same way, or at least he said he did in the Senate. But now he's running up against Chip Roy, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and all the rest of these characters, and letting the tail wag the dog again. And let me tell you something. There's more hypocrisy in the Congress all over the place than you can shake a stick at. I'm going to give you 2 examples. You know what the border policy of Saudi Arabia is? When refugees from Yemen try to get in because Yemen is badly split between Sunnis and Shiites, and these people's lives are in danger. They're not economic refugees like the ones that come across our border. The Soviet troops machine gun them. They kill them. And they are perverts, so they occasionally pluck out a man and a woman and order the man to rape the woman for their pleasure. Nobody in the Republican Party has criticized that or even mentioned it. Nobody. Because Saudi Arabia is Trump's pet. They gave $2 billion to Jared Kushner. In my view, he's taken money from them, a lot of money from them. He will do he defended Chainsaw Charlie when the cadets, the Saudi Arabian cadets, murdered our sailors in Florida in December of 2018. He said that Mohammed, Prince Mohammed, felt terrible about it, and it's not his fault. He stuck up for the Saudis. They stuck up for the Saudis. So nobody mentions it. And nobody mentions it on the far left of the Democratic Party. The squad doesn't mention it. When was the last time you heard the Ilhan Omar Ocasio-Cortez tell you what I just told you? Never, but everybody shoots their mouth off about the United States and our immigration policy. How about China? China's immigration policy, they have a terrible problem in North Korea, obviously, and people try to get into China. China and North Korea have a border. When the Chinese catch them, they send them back to North Korea. If that happens, they get tortured right in front of their families. China doesn't care. When was the last time you heard anybody in Congress tell you that? Or anybody in Congress criticize it? Or what do they think? It is business as usual? The only people who held the human standards are Europeans and Americans. Apparently that's right. But a lot of it is for economic reasons, for identity politics reasons on the Republican side, simply because of laziness. And frankly, a lot of them, remember Trump did quote services end quote for Chinese banks. And he got at least $5.8 million for it when he was president, Chinese banks, two of them, that have busted our sanctions against North Korea. Nobody in the Republican Party criticized that. Nobody in the Republican Party criticized their immigration policy. Everybody in the extremes of both parties attack our immigration policy, and I'm damn tired of it. I'll tell you that right now. So here's what you have. Donald Trump, a mixture of threats, mixture of generating threats to the point where members of Congress are afraid for the safety of their families, their wives and kids and their husbands. And then at the same time, deathly afraid of being primary because then they'd have to find a job and who would hire them. Take a good look at any of these people. Would you entrust them to do anything? Do you think they have the moxie and the enthusiasm to do anything? I do not. And so what happens is they shiver with fear of primaries, fear of threats, and they do what he says. And as a result, we've not only swelled our deficit by high interest rates on our debt, by everything I've just described, but we've also diminished our stature in the world. You know, one of the reasons why we're getting a lot of these pot shots taken at us by Iran proxies, by the Yemenis, and so on, and there are many reasons, but one of them is the minute you are the dominant power in the world and you yield that in any respect and can't even pass your own budget, people lose their fear of you. Well, that damn well better be restored. And I don't mean fear in a bad way. I mean to admire our values, admire our Constitution, admire our economy. The Republican Party is putting a knife in that. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather. And I'll tell you what, Trump just got a double whammy in the polls. This is very good news for Joe Biden. Coming up. Dead blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Bundle up this weekend. The mercury is again dropping across the U.S. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Bitterly cold temperatures once again return to so much of the country. Could see wind chills 20 to even 30 degrees below zero this weekend.
A grand jury has reportedly been convened to review the botched response to the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas in 2022.
Charges could include things such as child endangerment. 19 children and two teachers were killed in the Uvalde attack.
CBS's Linda Kenyon reporting. A grand jury has indicted Alec Baldwin for involuntary manslaughter in connection with the shooting on the Rust movie set. Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson.
We have a different prosecutor. We have a law that absolutely was on the books at the time, as far as all reporting indicates. And we have that additional evidence of the forensics report saying he was, in fact, the one to fire the gun.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. More people than ever have a job in Wisconsin. State officials are out with their final numbers for December. Department of Workforce Development Chief Economist Dennis Winter.
If you add jobs and pay people, they'll consume more, and consumption drives the U.S. economy. So that feed loop, positive feedback loop keeps circling on itself. We're going to continue to see economic gains and workforce gains.
Wisconsin added more than 2,200 jobs in December. The jobless rate is at a near record low, 3.3%. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits southeastern Wisconsin on Monday. Her remarks come on the 51st anniversary of the Roe v. Wade Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. Harris railed against a Republican-authored bill in Wisconsin to ban abortions after 14 weeks on Friday. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, low near 8 below. Sunshine for tomorrow, high near 10 above. Warmer and breezy Sunday with sun, high upper teens. An even warmer Monday, mostly cloudy, around 30 to the low 30s. Right now it's 1.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Todd Almost Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd. Where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines, Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Thank you so much, Matt. And thank you to you and to all the others who, you know, have expertise and talent and knowledge to share with the rest of us through the most difficult, I think, time that I've ever seen in my life. And we're so appreciative of it. And I just want to mention to others who are listening who really love your show and pay attention to your knowledge and, you know, history and the way you pull things together for us so that we get information and insights. Also, tomorrow at 9 a.m., that's when Morning Cannolis is on, and he goes through the legal aspects of what happens, like, through the week or what happens in the country and just plain legal stuff. And so I just wanted to bring that up. And I also wanted to bring up that, you know, we depend on the Republican Party to at least stand up for America, but a lot of those Republicans have left. They have quit. They have tried to stand up, and they were loners, and they got beaten down by Trump. And I really do believe that we now have a mobster running our country, and he's not even in office. And the conspiracies and the plots continue. The one against Fani Willis was a plot. They'll soon, I think, it's coming out now what the devil was going on with that one. People might want to check that out. Every single thing they're trying to obstruct the incarceration, I hope happens, with the former leader of the American people that was so illegal, lies, fraud, conspiracies. And Matt, I remember the people he put into office, you know, he put in the normal people first, but then he started putting in people that really shouldn't have been in different offices. And I can't remember which one it was, but there was a guy that he put in that tried to hurt Uniroyal in Wisconsin, in Eau Claire. And I remember it clearly because I have family members, a lot of family members who work there. And this guy was going to buy it out, you know, and then take their retirements and that type of thing. Trump had him in one of his offices. He had so many bad people running our government that it was just frightening. And then pretty soon, one would be under investigation, they'd leave. And, I mean, we cannot survive another Trump administration. People need to wake up. I'm so thankful for Joe Biden. I tell you, I say prayers every night because he knows what he's doing. He cares. He can't get a lot done because we didn't give him enough reinforcement to get things done for the people. And then look what we got instead, the Republicans from Wisconsin, the Green Bay sweep, the liars, the conspiracy in the state of Wisconsin saying that there was a bad election and so we need to wake up, folks. We got to fight back because the only people that can fight back is us with our vote. And, you know, I am not a member of a party, but gol darn it, I'm voting blue all the way because the people with the R after their name have hurt us badly. Thank you very much. I didn't mean to go on and on that, but it's so overwhelming sometimes.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. And by the way, Jim Santel on Morning Cannoli on Saturday is a friend of mine. He's an excellent lawyer. Very, very well-regarded lawyer who is also the U.S. attorney at one time in Milwaukee. You know, as U.S. attorney, that means he was the chief federal prosecutor in Eastern District, but functionally really for the state. It's most of the cases come out of the Eastern District of Wisconsin. So I can't think of a better way if you had the time on Saturday morning listening to his show. And he gets very deep into the weeds on legal stuff, and it's very, very important, very important. Well, thank you. And now some good news. Good news for Joe Biden. Everybody, I think, everybody has bought into this stuff about, well, you know, Biden's down in the polls. Even Trump beats him. Nikki Haley beats him by even more. If she were ever the nominee head-to-head with Donald Trump and there were a full airing of what she knows and what she's done, she isn't going to get Schneider. And Trump's not going to get Schneider against this guy. And here, when an avalanche starts, it's not only difficult to stop, it's impossible to stop. And I think there is a sea change going on right now in all of the relentless lying attacks, death threats of Donald Trump that's finally caused, I would say, a significant mass of people in this country to say, we are not going to vote for this guy. So listen to this data. Everything you've heard about the polls, well, let me tell you something. How about a poll from January 3rd to the 9th by Ipsos, I-P-S-O-S. They did it for Reuters. Reuters commissioned them. It's a respected news source. It polled 3,815 voters. Now, that's a huge sample. Huge sample with a very low margin of error. In it, it said, if the election were held today, Biden would get 40% of the vote. Trump would get 38% of the vote, and 10% would vote for third candidate. In the other one, they said, part of that one, they said, suppose Robert Kennedy Jr. were in it. Now, Robert Kennedy Jr. is nowhere near like his dad. I thought the world of his dad and the whole Kennedy family, and I was Teddy Kennedy's Milwaukee County chairman for one of his campaigns back in 1980. And they are the gold standard. They are one of the premier families in American history. But even then, Biden wins with 34%, Trump gets 33%, and Kennedy gets 17%, which is 2 points less than Russ Perot got back in 1992. So that's one poll. Here's another one by YouGov, Y-O-U-G-O-V. YouGov, it was done for The Economist. The Economist, a very respected publication, paid for the poll. This one had 1,472 subjects. These were all registered voters in both of them. This was conducted January 14 and 16. The poll, Biden against Trump, Biden 44%, Trump 43%. Now, here are some other interesting anomalies, and keep these in the back of your mind. They're absolutely counter to everything that I had read about in the popular press. The poll showed that Biden is more popular with younger voters, Biden, than older voters. In the 18 to 29 demographic, Biden beats Trump 56-29. 56-29. Get as many youngins out there as you can. Young people, and remember your own youth, have not become cynical. They are very, very righteous about corruption. They won't have it. They're very, very enthusiastic. Biden wins almost by 30 points in the 18-29 demographic. But this also is counterintuitive. In the 65 and over demographic, Trump, in these polls, beats Biden 51 to 40. Now, the concerning thing about that is more older people vote than younger people. But in every previous poll that I'd seen, Biden does very well among older people. To be candid, this particular line in the poll, I'm going to be very interested to see how that develops in future polls. Among women, confined to women, Biden beats Trump 46-38 by 8 points. Among men, Trump beats Biden by 6 points. So you have Trump, in among men and women, Biden has a 2-point advantage over, and there are more women, by the way, than men anyway. So it's more than a 2-point advantage because he beats them by 8 points with women, loses by 6 to men. By the way, more males than females are born, but there are more women than men. Apparently men, you know, die earlier for different things, or they get killed in sports or war or whatever. But this is not a good poll for Donald Trump. In race, among white respondents, Trump at 50%, Biden at 39%. Among black people, Biden had 57%, Trump had 18%, beats him by 40 points. Among Latinos, Biden wins 50 to Trump 31. What I sense right now, to be very honest with you, is the start, the faint rumbling of an avalanche. You cannot, if you're Donald Trump, be indicted on 91 felonies in four courts with different judges, different prosecutors. What, every in the army, if a guy says, everybody else is out of step, I'm the right one, they say, get out of here. Get out of here. Well, there's nothing but death threats from Trump. There's nothing but insults from Trump, lying from Trump. And up until now, he's held this together with sort of cellophane and scotch tape. People are afraid of him. They're afraid of him because he helped primary them. And they're afraid for their safety and their family safety. At some point, people who are afraid for their safety or afraid of being primaried hate you for doing it to them. And the minute they can get you, the worm turns. And an old saying that revenge is a dish that is best served cold. You wait a little bit and you stick the knife in him. Trump has no real friends. There's nobody that likes Trump. One of the Republican senators said that if there was a secret vote on conviction after one of the impeachments, it would have been 100-0 against Trump. People were afraid. And that's very, very true. And I will simply leave it at this. On the subject of this poll, obviously we're going to look at future polls. But the truth is that the margin of error in these polls is very small, especially the Ipsos poll that talked to 3,800 people. And when you have consistently in two polls that were taken right now in January, Trump losing to Biden by, in one case, 2 points, one point. That is not good news for Donald Trump, because up until now, he has not been defined. And that's a strange thing to say. And you'll say, wait a minute, Matt, he's the incumbent on the Republican side. Joe's the incumbent on the Democratic side. And I get it. I get the analogy. Obviously, Trump has much better name recognition than anybody else in the Republican Party. You know, Nikki Haley, who's Nikki Haley, you know, DeSantis, okay, blah, blah, blah. But when you have good name recognition, it's not necessarily a positive. Al Capone had good name recognition. And Trump, by acting like a Russian mafia mobster, is making people very uneasy. Now, are many of them going to vote on the immigration issue and hold their nose and vote for Trump? Yeah, they will. Some will. Perhaps a lot will. But, you know, back in 2020, he had the same issue. Back in 2020, he had the same issue, and he lost by 7 million popular votes. 7 million. He lost Michigan by 70,000 votes, and he complained that there was, what, fraud? He lost Pennsylvania by a large amount. This time around, if you're talking to people who are Republicans or independents, and they're just parodying the usual party line, they go, oh, well, you know, the polls show that anybody can beat Biden, and Trump can beat him, and he's a safe bet. No, that's not true. The polls right now are beginning to show that Biden would beat Trump. And, you know, a lot of people that have criticized Biden said, well, you seem to be encouraging Trump to be the nominee. Well, wait, first of all, Biden can't pick the Republican nominee, so knock that off. But secondly, I think it's fortunate for Biden that Trump is the nominee, because I'll tell you what, Biden will beat him like a drum. Okay, coming up, a very, very short step away coming up. And then we will see the right-wing party in Poland is exactly like Donald Trump and Scott Walker coming up.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
You're listening to 93.5. The Tap, The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
It's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. For about 8 years, Poland had a very right-wing government, very similar to a Donald Trump. Poland's a magnificent country, stood up valiantly against Russia and Prussia for hundreds of years. 1795, it was conquered and divided up between Russia, Prussia, and Austria. Came back into existence after the First World War, and then lived as a country until the Nazis. And then the Russians came back in, finally liberated in the 1980s. You had Lech Walesa, the great Union electrician in the shipyard, and Pope John Paul II, a magnificent historical figure. But they voted for about 8 years for a right-wing government. We voted for one for 4 years, and hopefully we're not doing it again for 4 years. But I was really struck by this description of one of the experts who looked at their system. And he was not talking about our system. This was amazing about it. But just listen to the description of the 8-year right-wing government in Poland by this expert. And he's talking about that particular party. He said, quote, that party jury-rigged systems, rules, and initiatives to its own partisan advantage, planting its allies in the courts and prosecutors' offices. They enacted an intricate obstacle course designed to leave the party with a stranglehold on key levers of power, even if it were ousted in elections. End quote. Now you think about that, and that's something that right-wing parties do all the time. What do you think Scott Walker did in this case, in this state? Remember the lame duck laws? Tony Evers won the governorship, but Tony Evers was stripped of some of his powers. That was kept with the gerrymandered Republican legislature. Josh Quall won the attorney generalship, but he was stripped of some of his powers, and that was put in the Republican gerrymandered legislature. You had the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, exactly what is described in that description of the 8-year reign of the right-wing party in Poland. What they are doing has been described as the biggest power grab since 1803. That was back around when Marbury versus Madison was declared. You've heard that name. No one's read it. No one cares about it. It's an historical thing. But really what it came down to is this. The Wisconsin Supreme Court decided we want some power. It's not in the Constitution, but we're just going to announce it for the hell of it. So from now on, we reserve the right to declare things unconstitutional. And there's nothing you can do about it because nobody can appeal from us. Well, in 1803, there were a lot of problems. The British were still a problem. And then it ended up in the War of 1812. There's a lot of problems. We were a fledgling country. There are a lot of countries in the world that would have loved to have conquered us. George Washington died in 1798, so he wasn't around. and we were feeling our way. There was terrible strife between abolitionists and slaveholders, even them. So nobody paid any attention to it. And then they lay in the weeds for a while until the 1850s, Roger Taney's court, the Dred Scott decision, one of the launches to the Civil War. And then they started to get frisky about it. And they started to hold stuff unconstitutional. Remember this, there's nothing in the Constitution that says they can do that. Nothing. Culminated in the New Deal in the 1930s, when everything that Franklin Roosevelt tried to do, the Chartered Labor Act, all of these things, and then they came up to Social Security, 1935. And these guys are all Republicans, or largely Republicans, and they're all sitting back. They're exactly like our tarantulas. You think our tarantulas are somehow an historical innovation? Well, they're not. Believe it, they're not. And finally, Roosevelt had enough. And he attacked the court, and he said, I'll tell you what, you keep screwing around like this. There's nothing in the Constitution that says how many justices have to be on the court. At one time, I think there were six, and then there were seven and nine and less and more. So they're going to be 13. I'm going to put four more justices on. I control the Congress right now. It's Democratic. And we're going to get you people out of there. And that scared one guy. So Social Security, instead of being declared unconstitutional in a 5-4 vote, was declared constitutional in a 5-4 vote. But now, in overturning, as they're about to, the Chevron decision, they're about to say that no regulations, that this is unbelievably sweeping, no regulations that experts in the administrative agencies who are hired for that purpose, who are not political, biologists, chemists, physics experts, geology, climate, unless that is a rule that Congress approves, it's no good. It's no good. This Congress is on life supports. The Republican caucus is largely crooked and hates the United States. Not entirely crooked, but largely, and largely hates the United States. You think that they, it took three continuing resolutions so far. You think they're going to sit down, spend time on environmental rules or something? You really think that? Or financial rules? So what's going to happen is there'll be lawsuits, and the judges who can't be appealed from because they're in the Supreme Court. This is going on our watch. That has got to stop. One way to stop it is to reelect Joe Biden. Another way to stop it is to elect a Democratic Senate. Another way to stop it is to elect a Democratic House. At some point, they have to be substantial enough margins that you can impeach and convict. And there are right now six of these people on the Supreme Court, and several of them deserve to be impeached, removed from office. But this is going on our watch. It's very, very dangerous, and something has to be done about it. I see you on the lines, by the way. Do not hang up. We're going to do some news. We'll do some weather. And coming up, first of all, will be you on the lines. First of all, will be you on the lines. But secondly, you think that Joe Biden's been attacked for being somehow losing track of his thoughts. You will not believe what Donald Trump has been saying. He is the one with dementia. Coming back very shortly. Stay on the line.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.